Welcome to Teaching Writing, a podcast about teaching writing, ideas and strategies for doing that. My name is Roger Graves. I'm the Director of Writing Across the Curriculum at the University of Alberta and a professor in English and Film Studies. I'm also the Associate Director of the Center for Teaching and Learning. In a podcast episode last week, we talked about purpose in more theoretical terms and more general terms. And today I want to extend that conversation a little bit to look at what kinds of purposes students are asked to write for in various disciplines. So before I get started on that, let me follow up a little bit from last week where we talked about Kanavy's triangle, where he had the encoder, the decoder, the speaker, the listener, all talking about reality through a signal or message. Walter Beale, in his work, A Pragmatic Theory of Rhetoric, divided purposes in writing up into four different categories. There's the scientific, or what he termed the informative rhetoric, and then opposed to that is instrumental or performative rhetoric. Now, those are on the same axis, so they're versions of each other. They're the informative to the performative. On another axis, he had the rhetorical, which he thought of as deliberative or governmental, on the same axis with poetic, which is reflective or exploratory rhetoric. So he's got those two axes, and then there's all different shades the discourse can take along each axis. So from scientific to instrumental, rhetorical or political to poetic. That discussion of Beale's work is in our book, Strategic Guide to Technical Communication. And in that book, we're mostly interested in the scientific to the instrumental, that axis of writing and communication. I'd like to shift our focus now to more broadly considering academic discourse. We wrote a book called The Brief Pearson Handbook. In part two of The Brief Pearson Handbook, we look at four main purposes in academic writing. The first of these is read and analyze with a critical eye. And so this is the kind of critical analysis, critical thinking that you often think of as associated with academic writing. There's a second key kind of writing or purpose for writing that students are asked to do, and that is called reflection. And so the second chapter there deals with how to write for reflection. The third purpose for writing is writing to inform. The fourth one is writing to persuade. So we've got analyzing, reflecting, informing, and persuading as the four main purposes for writing. When students are asked to write critically, they're really asked to say, what are a bunch of questions you can ask about this text? How can you take it apart? Where did the text come from? What does it say? Can you trust the writer? Reflective writing, on the other hand, has as its purpose a different kind of thing. Many disciplines use reflective writing to help students draw links between theoretical knowledge in a textbook, for example, research that they discover in an area, and then their own experiences as they apply them to the things that they've read and the different experiences that they've had. Informative writing has yet a different kind of purpose. It has four primary functions: to report new or unfamiliar information, to analyze for meaning, patterns, and connections, to explain how to do something or how something works, and to explore questions and problems. So all of those key words there, those are ones which suggest the kinds of things you might want students to focus on. And finally, we have writing to persuade. In post-secondary courses, written arguments are meant to persuade readers who refuse to accept a claim when it is expressed as an assertion, that is to say, without evidence. Extended written arguments attempt to change people's minds by convincing them that a new idea or point of view is valid, or that a particular course of action is the best one to take. So let's take those four main purposes and then apply them to various different disciplines, or see how they show up in different disciplines. In the humanities, you get a lot of critical reading and writing. That's not really a surprise. The focus is analyzing and interpreting texts and works of art. That's a purpose that's shared across the humanities. In the humanities, the focus is often on creating a direct argument. That is to say, it's a kind of text where you've got an assertion or a thesis, and then you support that with various kinds of evidence as you argue. So this is the kind of a classic argument that when you think of someone who's arguing in support of something, that's what the humanities argument is. And we want to contrast that with the sciences and the social sciences. In those kinds of disciplines, the focus is more on giving data first and creating what sometimes is called an indirect argument, which is where you're going to supply a lot of information from observations, from experiments, and so on, and then lead readers to an understanding of what that means after they've seen that information. So in the introduction, you may get a hypothesis, a hypothesis, a question, but not so much a detailed position that you're going to argue from. So a classic assignment in the social sciences is write an observation. So what's the purpose of an observation? The purpose of an observation is to record and reproduce details in some coherent order. So readers need as specific and as precise details as they can get so as to make their own conclusions about what you're writing about, what it is you have observed. So the purpose then of an observation is to present that data essentially. Case studies are another social science kind of genre, and the purpose of those is to show one example in detail. Again, there's this real heavy emphasis on observation, detail. That detail becomes your data, and then you have to analyze and interpret those observations into some framework. Lab reports are the science sort of parallel genre, if you want to call it that, where you have a lot of observation, a lot of recording of detail, followed by analysis and interpretation, what happened in the experiment, all the details that you observed, your data. We don't normally think about writing for the workplace as an academic genre, because the kinds of genres that are present in workplace writing are not usually in academia. And yet, we've done some research where we found that's not true, actually. So workplace writing, again, its purpose is quite different. Your letter of application, the purpose of that is to get an interview. The purpose of your CV is to provide the data that supports the arguments in the letter of application. So those are two genres where the purposes are quite distinct. Well, you wouldn't expect it, but in the Faculty of Agriculture, you will find genres such as resume and cover letter, letters to the editor, lab reports, journals, analysis reports, situation analysis, a needs assessment, multimedia products, literature reviews, all kinds of things. In our studies of assignments in agriculture faculties, what we found is that somewhere between 10 to 15 to 20% of assignments are actually business communication genres, which is a very surprising finding for us. So what that tells us is that the demands that we put on students are actually quite broad. We expect them to know both academic genres, but also to pick up and perform business type genres as well. And so the purposes that they're writing for are very distinct, very broad. Now, as an instructor, what should you take away from all of this? Well, the first thing that I think you should take away is when you give students an assignment which requires a written product as the end piece that gets handed in, you should make sure that somewhere on that assignment description, you've been very clear about the genre and about the purpose of why students are writing this document. Well, I've got three examples in front of me, and the problem with these three is that none of them is clear about its purpose. It says students will choose a thesis statement for their project and will describe how the four articles in the annotated bibliography support or refute their choice of a thesis statement. That's kind of hinting at it, but because it says will describe, but it does not actually say what the point is. Why are you writing this thing? So let's focus on the positive. Here are four different assignments, each of which has a very clear statement of purpose for it. And this one particular one, it talks about not just the purpose for the assignment, but before that, it talks about the purposes for the entire course. And it links the purposes for the assignment to the point of taking the course. So one of the program goals is to become familiar with interprofessional learning pathway and appreciate and show respect for shared and unique roles of various medical professions. The directions for the assignment say, in a maximum of 750 words, reflect on the following question. So they're pointing to reflection quite clearly as the purpose. And then they say, what did you learn at the interprofessional launch, and how do you think this experience might affect your future nursing practice? So the purpose is to reflect and to think about what you learned. They're really clear about that. I just love that statement. Here's another one. The first sentence of the assignment. The purpose of this assignment is to help you develop your persuasive legal writing skills. Well, alrighty then. I guess I know what I'm doing. And they follow that up with, you will need to use and build upon the research you have already done in the memo assignments, those are assignments they've done previously in the course, in order to develop an ethical and persuasive argument on behalf of your client. So, the purpose is argumentative. I get it. Persuasion. And finally, there's an example that says, again, the first sentence of the assignment description, the purpose of the event management action plan is to set out the groundwork, parenthesis, blueprint, for this activity in the planning stage. So they're saying, we want you to give us a really good description of this plan. And that's what the point of this document is. So the key takeaway from listening to all this, I hope, is that you need to be really explicit in your assignments about what the point is, what the purpose is for this document, so that students know where they're supposed to be going. It's kind of like a compass heading, and then they're going to head off in that direction. They need other information too, of course, but that's the first thing that they need to know. It is one of the absolute key things that they need to know. Well, thanks for listening. If you have a moment and you are so inclined, please go to rogergraves.podomatic.com to leave a comment, share the podcast, or follow it. I'm at Roger Graves on Twitter if you want to give feedback or share using that platform. And if email is your preferred medium, you can reach me at roger.graves@ualberta.ca.